speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Fee.
I am enjoying the series of lessons that we have been engaged in for the last several weeks on Sunday mornings as we look into the prophets. As I read and study from the prophets, I'm excited to learn to see the things that God spoke to the people from the days of old. How that God spoke to the children of Israel, to the Jews, His chosen people, and how that God commended them during the times of which they were living in a manner that was pleasing and glorifying to His name. But also, I am blessed to be able to look back and to see that during the times in which they lived a life of sin, during the times in which they lived a life that was separated from God, how that God constantly pleaded with them and called them back. As we look to the lessons that we find in the Old Testament, not only were they for the people of that age, but then also they are applicable lessons to you and me today, that we might be able to understand our God as well as to better understand the way of which He calls us to live in order to properly serve Him and to stand before Him in the day of judgment. This morning our lesson will be coming from the book of Micah. And as we look into the message that is found therein, Micah has a lot to say in reference to the Jews. In other words, as he was speaking, the people of that day would have understood that the majority of the message applied to them and that God was instructing them as to the type of life that they must live in order for them to be able to maintain a relationship with Jehovah God. Friends, also, I contend that Micah was able to foresee some things, very vital, important information for you and me as it pertains to the gospel age. As we dig into the lesson in regard to what Micah has to say, I believe that it is also important for us to understand that Isaiah and Micah labored as contemporary prophets, in that they served during the time frame of which they were both speaking unto our God's people at the same time. And in this, it was the 8th century B.C., some 800 years before Jesus Christ our Lord came on to the scene. And I believe that as you dig into the context of Isaiah chapter 2, as well as Micah chapter 4, you'll find is that the verses there, and particularly the way in which they begin, are very similar, in fact, almost identical. But yet at the same time, both of these prophets add different details that help us to understand in regard to where we are in the Christian age. It's also important that as we read and study from these books of prophecy, as we consider what the message deals with from each of these prophets, is that we are trying to interpret it according to the proper ways in which God would have us to do so. The New Testament helps us to understand that as God spoke through the prophets, is that He spoke to them at various times and in various ways. And as we think with regard to the various times, we learn is that God used different prophets at different time frames to convey His message to the people of that age. But friends, also, He used various ways. And by that, I believe that in part what he is saying is that sometimes the message was spoken in a very literal manner. He spoke in very direct language, explicitly, if you would, unto the people, and there was no question in the minds of those people, and therefore there would be no questions in our minds. But also there are times when God spoke figuratively to the people of that age. And in this, then, we need to understand is that both are true. When God spoke in a literal way, it is a true message that they needed to know as well as us. And when God spoke figuratively to the people of that age, hence it is also true. And it carries important message for us today. How do we determine the application and the understanding of it? I contend that the Old Testament interpretation requires the New Testament. New Testament writers were inspired interpreters of the Old Testament. And what I mean by that is that as you read and study from the New Testament and we find information that is supplied in the New Testament from the Old Testament, friends, we are then able to make the application and to say full well, is that it would have dealt directly and solely to the people of that age? Or if it is found in the Christian age and it is made application to the Christian age in the New Testament, then we would say is that then by all means it is applicable unto us today. Micah gives us great details as we look into the Christian age. To begin with, I believe that Micah gives us great details about the Messiah. What does Micah share with us about the coming Messiah? Friends, the Messiah is a very popular theme of the Old Testament. Time and time again, the prophets of old would speak with reference to the coming of the Messiah. In fact, I have identified that Isaiah and Micah serve as contemporary prophets. They were both speaking during the same time and delivering the message unto the same people. And Isaiah, during our age today, is noted by most scholars as the messianic prophet, meaning that he had more to say about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus, than any other Old Testament prophet or prophecy. And because then, therefore, that Micah and Isaiah were speaking during the same time frame and to the same people, we should not be surprised to find is that Micah also spoke with reference to the coming of the Messiah. Well, what does he identify? First and above all, in regard to the Messiah, that the one who would rule in Israel would eventually come. Friends, that is significant as you look back through the Old Testament Scripture and then connect it with the New Testament. Remember, in the book of Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, Moses, in speaking by way of inspiration, communicating a message to the people of his age for God, he identified is that the scepter or the throne of the rule would not depart from Judah until the one to whom it would belong. In the immediate context, there is a tone of that language that was pointing to the rule of David, his kingship. But at the same time, it did not end there with David. What Moses is speaking of there is that ultimately one would come and occupy the throne of David, which in reality the throne belonged to him. And friends, what Moses is speaking of there is the coming of the Christ. Connecting this with the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah also is told in regard to the coming of the Messiah is that he would be the King of all kings and the King or the Lord of all lords. And friends, I am reminded that whenever Jesus Christ came into this world, that we find the fulfillment of Micah's prophecy that when he came, he would be the ruler of Israel, is that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, as the Apostle Peter has been speaking in reference to Jesus and the establishment of the church, he identifies concerning Christ, saying, "This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ." So what Micah spoke in regard to the coming of the Messiah is that he would be the ruler of Israel, friends, finds its fulfillment whenever Jesus Christ finally occupies the throne after his death and resurrection at Calvary. But then also, Micah speaks in regard to the coming Messiah, is that God's only begotten would come from Bethlehem. And I find it interesting and important to mention is that if you think with regard to Bethlehem, it was an insignificant little village in the Old Testament Scripture. And in this, it's never a prominent place from an Old Testament standpoint, but yet at the same time, Micah speaks with reference to the fact that the Messiah, the Savior of humanity, would come forth from Bethlehem. And friends, we find as we read and study from the New Testament Scripture is that Micah got it right. And the reason that Micah got it right is because he was speaking the words of God and he was speaking, looking through the eyes of God. And therefore, whenever Jesus was born, he was born in Bethlehem. And friends, also though Micah reveals unto us in regard to the characteristics, the eternal nature of the Messiah in saying is that his kingdom and he will be from everlasting and evermore. Well, what does that mean? It speaks with regard to the fact that He was much more than a man in His coming, but rather He is divine. And by that we mean is that He is God. But also, in regard to the fact that He is deity, it speaks with reference to His eternal existence. Some people, back shortly after the first century, and in fact probably even during the first century as I think about it, would have said is that Jesus was some sort of a created being. And Micah was shown He's not a created being, but rather He Himself is a part of the creation. A part of the one who is responsible for the creation. He is a creator. Why? Because He is eternal. And because He is God. But friends, also, it's important to point out that Micah, as he was given this vision from God, as he's given revelation from God and speaking for God, as it pertains to the gospel age, Micah saw the shepherd overseeing his flock. And the shepherd here would speak with reference to the fact that Jesus is the one that we are to follow as His children, as members of the body of Christ. And as you come into the New Testament Scripture, we find Jesus defining what Micah had a somewhat of an understanding of. Jesus gives us greater definition to identify that He is the good shepherd. He is the one that will not forsake us. He is the one whom God has appointed to protect us and to feed us and to lead us. But also, it is said in regard to this shepherd, is that He is the chief shepherd, the one that all shepherds must turn to, meaning shepherds within the church, the eldership, and that we must all bow before as the great I Am. But friends, not only did Micah see things that is related to the coming of Jesus, he also saw things as it pertained to Christianity, the coming of the Lord's church. And what Micah identifies in Micah chapter 4 and verse 1 is that the time of this fulfillment would come in the latter days or in the last days. And what is meant by that? It is meant that Jesus would come and establish His kingdom at the close of the Jewish dispensation of time, at the close of the Mosaic age. And friends, we know that this is indeed true. Why? Because also in the New Testament Scripture we have this same message and this same phraseology used in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 as well as verse 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers through the prophets. Note what He says in verse 2. He has in these last days spoken to us through Jesus Christ, His Son. Well, what's the last days then? The last days would be when Jesus nailed the law to the cross and established a new and better covenant. And Micah also was shown in regard to the church, the same as what Isaiah was shown, is that the Lord's house would begin at Jerusalem. You see, Jerusalem is significant as you go back into the Old Testament Scripture. Solomon erected the temple there in Jerusalem. And it is there that God's name was amongst His people. And as long as the people did as God commanded them to do, hence He continued to keep His name there. But whenever they forsook Him, then God removed Himself from there and His name left, and therefore they were subject unto the consequences as a result of their sinning against our God. But God used that place, Jerusalem, to establish His kingdom. Why? Because it was well known amongst the people, and because, hence, it is identified throughout time as the holy city of God. And as we read and study the words of Jesus, Jesus had told His disciples in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49 that they were to tarry or to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. Why? Because God was going to send them forth from Jerusalem, beginning at Jerusalem, with His Word establishing His church. And friends, as we read and study from Acts chapter 1, conjoined with Acts chapter 2, we find the fulfillment of what Micah and Isaiah saw in regard to this most important matter. But friends, also, it's significant that we find in the book of Micah chapter 4 and verse 2 and verse 3 is that the church would be a learning institution. You see, as Micah was presenting this message, and as the people would have understood the house of God, this would not have made sense to them, is that in order to become a part of the house of God, you are to learn of God, because as they saw it, you were born into the family of God. You see, the Jews were, under the Old Covenant, God's chosen people. And you had to be a Jew in their mindset in order to serve God, in order to have a relationship with God. And this concept that Micah is given a vision of and portraying before them is that the Lord's house is going to become a teaching institution. It did not resonate with them. But yet at the same time today, you and I know is that you don't have to be a Jew, born a Jew, to be a child of God, but rather all who are taught, John chapter 6, verse 44 and verse 45, are drawn unto God. That parallels, does it not, with what we read and understand from Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And therefore today we need to take that serious within our own lives and read and study from God's Word all that we can, so that we will realize the importance that God places upon us for knowing His Word and living according to His Word. We need to do that individually as well as collectively as a body of Christ, and to make sure that we are always presenting the truth and encouraging one another to live by the truth. But friends, as we look to bringing this lesson to a close, we also want to mention is that Micah was shown by our God is that the Lord's kingdom would be a kingdom of peace. And while Israel, the Jews would not have understood exactly that this was pointing into the gospel age until what the Messiah was going to bring, is that man would be able to have peace with our God through their obedience unto Christ, conjoined with the shedding of His blood. This would have certainly had meaning to them. Why? Because they were people who were constantly at odds with the Gentile nations around them. Remember concerning David, it is said in the Scriptures that he was a man of war. And it wasn't only David. The people of which David was king over were people of war. Time after time after time, they were at odds with the people of that day. And God is showing them is that whenever the Messiah comes, whenever the Lord's kingdom, the Lord's house, the church is established, there will be peace. And somebody might speak up and say, well, Kevin, there's still skirmishes out today. There's still the threat of war, even into this very hour. And friends, what God was identifying through Micah and Isaiah and others is that this idea about peace is not talking about world peace, but rather how that we can have peace with our God, the peace that surpasses all understanding, and it is only able to be attained, to be acquired and maintained in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Micah was given these visions for the people to consider during the days of which he lived. But friends, Micah was given this message so that we would study it and understand it today and make application to our lives as Christians, that we might better serve Him and know Him so that someday we can dwell eternally in heaven with Him. This morning, if you're here and you're outside of Christ, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to you that you might put Christ on in baptism before it is eternally too late. If you're an erring Christian, we want to invite you with the Lord's call. Please come.